The Rams will take over at their own 25-yard line. The Saints lead this one 28-14. Goff starts in the shotgun. He's going to bring Kupp in motion to the left. He stands right behind Brandon Cooks. Goff communicating with the offensive line. Gurley to his left. Goff drops back, has a nice pocket, throws over the middle, intercepted! Intercepted, Alex Anzalone! Alex Anzalone at the 35, and the Saints are going to have another shot here in the first half.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk CO rating is a 0. It's official. The Saints are the best team in the NFL. I don't care what Kansas City's doing over there in the AFC, but if the talking heads have all picked the Rams as the before-the-season-started favorite, and they went undefeated up until now, then the team that beats them gets bragging rights and takes the number one spot, right? Kind of like what LSU was trying to do with Alabama, but it never happened. Now, the Saints have shown over and over that the 2018 squad can meet every challenge and win any which way they need to. And the atmosphere in the Dome had to be that of a playoff, which Jason Damon will attest to and probably tell us that story. And so I'm ready to hear about it. I imagine everybody else who's listening is too. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number? And did you enjoy the game?
I did enjoy the game immensely. It got a little tight towards the end, but I still enjoyed it. I'll now go with the 2. Got a little transfusion.
Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
Thank you. Oh, I was a little horse, yes.
So a little horse, would you say you were a donkey?
Before we get into the actual game recap, I do want to ask a quick question about like the atmosphere in the Dome. Was it playoff? Was it bigger than playoff? Was it was one of the biggest games that you can remember?
I mean, it was very loud. It was a great crowd. When I got there, because we, you know, drove back home, Florida on Saturday. We got out there maybe 1 o'clock. Went to Mike's tailgate for a little bit, hung out. It was kind of low key, but. No, I mean, the crowd was great, you know. Now I was a little subdued, didn't really drink a lot. But crowd was loud. We were ready to go from the get-go. Drew led the Houdat chant to start it off. So, yeah, I mean, it was a great atmosphere.
We talked about a couple of weeks ago when Drew broke the record. I think at the beginning, I don't think the game was up to that level. And that was also a Monday night game, if I remember correctly.
It was.
And I do, you know. But the crowd was fired up. I think the crowd went nuts going into halftime. You know, with the turn of events, I don't think any of us saw that happen. I mean, you know.
No, when they went up, you know, 28-14, you're like, man, this is great. And then Anzalone gets the pick.
Right.
Holy shit, we scored again.
Right. That's like, you know, kicking, you know. Sand in their face.
I mean, like, then it really turned. It was like, at that point, it was just a party.
Right. I don't know that Goff has faced anything like that. I mean, definitely not at home in L.A., you know.
I mean, they had the playoff game, which was a big atmosphere, but, you know, I mean, it's
an L.A. man.
Crowd. But it's an L.A.
dude,
crowd. Like, they're not
nearly going to be. Dude, a week ago, when they were playing Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers was pumping up the crowd. In L.A. You didn't see that?
Oh, I saw it.
Well, with this game, I guess we'll get into it then about the details of it. Maybe you'll prove your point in the game recap.
They did what they've done a lot this season is take the ball and move down and score right away.
The Rams won the toss and deferred because they think it's mad football.
I thought Sean McVay was a genius.
And it looked like, I mean, the first half, especially, and then again at the end, the Saints were
I mean, taking huge chunks out of the field. Every play felt like it was 15 yards or so. I mean, it was just, the offense was magical. It was insane. I watched it on the condensed version, so I just saw like play after play after play, and it, like, even though I saw every play, because of the way it came out, I was like, I feel like I'm watching a highlight reel. Every play is a highlight. Kamara, 10 yards. Breeze passes, 25 yards. Kamara, 10 yards. Breeze passes, Ben Watson grabs it, does a flip. Oh my God, Anzalone, interception. I mean, it was just highlight after highlight after highlight.
Now, I mean, you could say that about the Rams as well for the first couple, for the first two drives. I mean, they marched down
well,
the field
but
just as much east as we did.
Right, he just hit the entire, the first half, and he's right. You know?
Saints didn't punt till the third quarter.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Against
35 points and a half. Against anybody, 35 points. Against Cleveland, that's impressive.
But think about it. At the end of the half, it was 35-17. Like, that's a that's a full game score right there. And you had that.
Right.
Yeah, both teams, I mean, did what their offense was predicted to do, which is score more than 30 points.
Came in both averaging over 30, 33 points a game. That's kind of what we expected. And as the game's going on, I'm like, how the fuck did you two pick the game to be in the 20s? Like, at least I had the winners over 30-some points. I'm like, there's no way in the 20s. There's no way.
Yeah, you're right. Fine. Wait till you hear my score prediction for next week.
Oh, jeez.
77-16.
But I mean, like you said, I mean, Kamara was great. I mean, as the game progressed, I'm like, man, Michael Thomas is making a lot of big catches, and that was all before, obviously, the big one at the end. And I mean, the stats that he put up.
Well, for the season, the stats: Drew Brees, when he targets Michael Thomas, I think it's 82%.
It is an absurd number.
It's an absurd number. I think it's 90, but that's just stupid. That can't be.
Certainly, that can't be right.
Fucking nine out of every 10 throws, him and Drew Brees, hook up, and it's not, And again, it's not these little bitty pissing throws.
I mean, he made some good catches. And, I mean, everybody was
catches to extend drives. Yeah. I mean, old man Ben Watson, he had a great game.
He said the same scored on 5 of 6 possessions in the first half. The only exception was the fumble by Ingram.
I felt like the sound of that forced fumble, and then Ingram, he was kind of like shaking his arm. I'm like, holy fuck, he might have broke his arm. Like, thank God that wasn't anything.
It was helmet crashing instead, right?
The guests never really said anything,
But look, and when that happened, I'm like, okay, fuck, they're going to take the lead because we can't stop them. But that fourth down stop, I still can't believe the Rams didn't just kick the field goal right there.
Oh, was that the one where they faked the field goal, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so watching on the replay, I thought he made it the first down. I mean, there were three calls that it almost felt like, we used to accuse him of doing it against us, so I'm going to go be fair. It felt like we got help. We're at home.
I mean, the benefit was the initial marking was
got
short.
Held?
Help from the refs. New England. I felt special, like New England, like the NFL wants us to win a game.
No, I get you. I mean, rewatching that play, because I DVR'd it and then came home to watch it, rewatching that play, he extended the ball. I hate in the NFL this whole extending the ball. I think we've talked about it before. Man, but his knee was definitely down before the first down. Okay, his knee slid out of bounds before the first down.
Yeah.
That's where the ball needs to be. Wherever a part of your body goes. No, well, he stretched it. And it's not just this game, it's any game in the NFL, Even, God bless him, even Drew Brees is jump over the pile and extend the first down. That's not football. You need to firmly establish the ball wherever you want possession. Drew Brees later in the game, when he made the first down, he ran for it and extended, and the ball hit on the ground, okay, and bounced out of his hand. But at least he is, you know, he established it with where, you know, on the field.
I agree with, like, where you go out of bounds, like, maybe not where the extended ball goes out of bounds, but where the player is when he goes out of bounds. That's fine. But the goal line stuff with the...
You know, I agree with the
ball crosses the plane.
Right.
That's happening.
Right. I agree with the goal line. With the goal line, if you... Yeah, I agree with the... I don't mind it there because that's a little easier.
But the rule is that's the furthest forward that the ball travels. And if you can extend it, the ball travels, not the player. The ball has to travel. So that's the whole thing. Advance the ball. Okay, but we spent too much time on that.
Yes. No, you're right. But to Jason's point about, you know, about the turnover. But again, also, you know, Jason, what did we talk about or what did we mention last week? We talked about the turnovers and that it's also important what you do with the turnovers. You know? We both remember last week against
Minnesota. You're Minnesota. Correct.
You know, and we talked about, you know, Saints went down and got points. Boop. Week later, against the Rams, we made a fumble and Deloney got an interception. We scored on ours, and we got 7 points from ours, and they got zero.
They gave us the ball back on downs. Both times the team gave us the ball back.
Right. They said, here.
Oh, I'm sorry. This was yours. Sorry.
Right, you know. No,
what a great pick by Anzalone, man.
No. Yeah, and he wasn't. I don't know if you've seen the picks. I've heard people say he was baiting them. He wasn't baiting anybody. It was just a great athletic. It was a great athletic move and good heads up.
Good awareness, yeah.
If it happens 9 more times, he doesn't get the ball. I mean, God bless him. You know.
The defensive line looked. I mean, just. Pretty good. I felt like they almost. I don't think they got any sacks, right? But
they did
so close. No, they hit him.
They came
him.
Close.
They but, stopped Gurley.
I mean, again. They held Gurley to 68 yards. I mean, Gurley did score that touchdown, but still holding him to 68 and the Rams is a team under 92. I mean, that's huge. That is what they've been doing all season, and that's what I said last week.
What we thought they were. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were.
Like I said, entering Sunday, I mean, they were Gurley's MVP. Gurley's MVP, averaging 143 yards a game from scrimmage, you know, passing and receiving. And like Jason just said, we held them to a total of 79 yards. 79 yards total. 68 yards rushing.
I mean, that's one of the big stats of the game.
You know, but look, listen, answer me this. So to all the people who say, oh, the Saints are the... Their run defense is only good because teams don't need to run. They just rather pass. And I say, fuck you. Trust me, the Rams wanted to run the ball. If they had it, you know, I mean, they wanted to run the ball.
Several reasons. You know, yes.
Right. And look, I mean, okay, they abandoned the run for two reasons. A, because, you know, they were down 21. But B, because they couldn't do it. It wasn't effective for them. You know, he got a couple of big... He made like a 20-yard run and a 14-yard run, you know.
But other than that, was it.
Right, that was it. So, the Saints run defense is legit.
Pass defense? Not so much. But,
but you know what, PJ?
Look, the Rams are a good offense.
Would you say you saw noticeable improvement from PJ and Eli Apple?
It was definitely PJ. They're going after him. Hey, look, it's the NFL. It's the NFL. There's going to be passing. You're not going to stop everybody. They don't play defense anymore.
But they're not allowed to play defense anymore.
Right. You know, is the Rams have a terrible defense because the Saints put up 45 points on them and, you know, 400
coming
yards?
Coming in, the Rams were only averaging, giving up about 19 points a game.
Yeah. How'd that work out for them?
What about Traquan Smith? I only had two catches, but one was a touchdown, right? And the other was a pretty good one. I'm liking what I'm seeing.
I mean, he's coming along, but really the biggest key. I mean, we executed very well. Reese played great. Thomas played great. Kamara played great. We executed very well. But the offensive line were the MVPs.
Yeah.
I mean, this game and the last couple of games. I mean, look, we didn't give up a sack last week to the Vikings. They had 10 sacks yesterday against Detroit.
Right.
You know, we only gave up maybe what, two sacks against one or two sacks against the Ravens. They had sacked Mariota 11 times in a game. So we're going up against premier defensive lines. I mean, Detroit was starting. I mean, the Rams were starting four first round draft picks on defensive line, and they were pretty much invisible. That is just in that. I mean, that was the key to the entire game.
No, well, protect and breathe, and I think we've talked about it before. Look, there's two reasons that he had. I think 9 sacks on the year, the lowest in the NFL. It's A, his smarts, and he, you know, gets rid of the ball early, make quick decisions, and B, that line, you know, I mean, there's no doubt, you know, that line is. If that line was Dallas, if that was a stat line, ooh, they'd be the greatest line ever in the history of mankind.
Right, but ain't nobody talking about them at all.
For them, you know, oh, look at it. You know, fuck the media. And look, did y'all realize this stat right here?
Look at this stat.
look at this stat.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Since starting 0-2 last year, the Saints are 18-4.
That is
that's impressive.
I saw that somewhere, and like, holy shit!
Right. I mean, we're 18-4. I mean, did you realize that?
Kind of like the opposite of Cleveland.
Well, right. Oh, funny. Yeah, funny. You can say that because I went back and looked. I went back and looked at this, and we didn't collude this. Okay. Since 2013 season till Sunday yesterday, Cleveland has 17 victories.
Wow.
Okay.
In five years,
five and a half seasons, they have 17 victories. We have 18.
In one and a half seasons.
Right.
Oh. Wow.
And that's your Cleveland sucks.
Thank God we're not the Dog Pound Podcast. Man, that'd be fucking miserable.
Jeez.
Right. No, man. Yesterday's game.
When they were coming, because you knew they were gonna come back somewhat.
Sure.
He struggled in offense the third quarter. You're like, oh, fuck.
Oh.
And then they tied it. It was just like, oh, come on, guys.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask. Like, what were your emotions or feelings as that was happening? Because like I said, I had to watch the game condensed version, knowing the outcome already, so I wasn't concerned about it, and it was too fast for me to process, even if I didn't know the outcome, right? But you had to like suffer through it for 20 minutes. I mean, it was the full third and a little into the fourth quarter before the Saints offense got back on track, and defense for that matter.
It was brutal because you knew the Rams were going to score more than likely, and it's just Like, just, you got to put a drive. I mean, you got to get points. And then, like, they get the field goal, and it's like, okay, at least it's points. But then in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, well, they're just going to march down the field and get 7 and take the lead, and we're going to have to go down and score a touchdown drive. So, thankfully, the defense did come up.
When they did.
You know, big, when they had to. But look, it was very, like, the dome atmosphere, we definitely got quiet. We definitely got nervous, very anxious. Very anxious.
I hate to take credit away from the other team. The Rams are a very good offense. But I feel on our offense, I think that we came out the third quarter less aggressive.
Do you feel like we didn't make many adjustments simply because it was working in the first half? Why change it?
I think they abandoned the run.
Right. Look, okay, we talked about last weekend or a couple weeks ago with the Ravens. Okay, remember, if you remember, we said blah, blah, blah. The Saints said that they're bullies, you know, and the Ravens are bullies, and that we're going to we're a physical team that imposes our will. You know, what did we do Sunday in the first half? We came out. We went for it on fourth down on the first drive. First drive. Mm-hmm. Went for it on fourth down. You know, and
scored a lot of touchdowns.
I mean, but we were aggressive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, okay, get to go with the aggressive play, you know. With 3-something, you know, 3-and-some change left on the clock, instead of control, you know, who we needed the first down and we could have probably killed the clock. Okay. But what did Drew Brees do? He threw the kill shot to go up by 10. you know. Mm-hmm. He wasn't worrying about running, you know. He saw Thomas open, hello, boom, you know, not, you know, we needed 7 yards. Drew Brees wanted 75, you know.
Right. You know?
Seven. Oh, I think he said 70. I'm sorry, Sean, I didn't hear you. I thought you said 70.
Next time, yards. Coach, next time.
Right, you know, but
well,
what
there, there was a, you're right, and during that whole end of the fourth quarter, the drive before that, maybe the first drive, that's that same drive. No, it couldn't have been that same drive. So the one before that, I saw Drew Brees had Taysom Hill wide open for like 10 or 12 yards, but chose to ignore him and go about 15 yards further downfield for, what was it, Michael Thomas? Probably.
I don't know what you're talking about, but yes, I guess so.
Right, but it what it really made me think of more than the aggressive factor is that's like the third time I've seen Drew intentionally not throw it to an open Taysom Hill in favor of throwing it to someone else. Like, I wonder how like Drew Brees is kind of like, no, dude, you're not taking my spotlight that much. You're already taking snaps from me.
Taysom did drop that pass earlier.
Yeah, he did.
That was thrown his way.
He was wide open.
He started looking ahead before he caught it.
Yeah. About 6 or 7 yards. That scared me. That did scare me. But again, my good point is that the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know, since we started that kind of like, you know, mini road trip, aggressive team, aggressive in Baltimore, aggressive Minnesota, aggressive yesterday evening in the Superdome, again, with 2 minutes to go left in the game. 2 minutes to go. We could have punted, which only would have saved us maybe, but then we'd have still had to play defense, you know, and the Rams would have been obviously very aggressive on going to the score. But what did we do? We said, fuck it, you know, we're going to go for the two. I mean, the 2 yards to get the first down and close this game out. Aggressive play, aggressive play, aggressive play. That's what's win. You know, teams need to be aggressive
like
on offense.
Last time we did aggressive, we were this aggressive, we won a Super Bowl.
So this is a team with swagger.
Oh, they definitely have fucking swagger.
But I felt they gave up momentum after the half by not going for it.
They were probably trying to bleed the clock. They were trying to bleed their clock in their own way, right, in the third
quarter.
That's
my point. That's correct. Yes. That's my point. I feel like coming in from halftime, starting the third quarter, we wanted to start bleed the clock.
And that's okay, honestly. That's a smart thing to do. It's the right thing to do. You're up by enough. You bleed the clock. Now, you probably expect that, you know what, we'll get a point. We'll stop them maybe a little extra. But notice, once the Rams tied it back up, the Saints, oh, I'm sorry, we got to hit the gas pedal again. Okay, no problem.
Well, that's my point, Jeff. I don't think we could have taken our foot off the gas pedal.
No, I mean, yeah, it's not. But it's not college football either. You try to hurry up and keep shorten the game for them for the amount of, that they can come up.
It's a new NFL. Look, I'm not.
You're right.
Also,
I agree with you,
team,
but I also see what
listen,
they did.
No, I understand the strategy of it, but maybe not so with this. You know, if you do it to Dallas, if you're up by 20 with Dallas, yeah, just run the ball. Fuck it. They can't score 21 points in a game, much less a half. Okay. Yeah. But teams like Atlanta, if you get a lead on Atlanta, you don't slow down and try to block them. You got to go. Teams like the Rams, teams like the Saints, if you know.
No, I agree.
Offensively. And I guess.
But what I also
maybe that
wasn't
their strategy. Maybe it was something the Rams did. I'm just telling you what I feel is that we changed.
Well, and I'll tell you. And I'll tell you where I think the happy medium is. Where I think, because again, with a team like the Rams, the argument to do that is because you are going to keep the ball out of their offense's hands. The problem was that we couldn't get enough first downs to actually the execution of that strategy didn't work, and that Sean Payton maybe stuck to it a little longer than he should have, right? Maybe the two times, and the Rams are down by, you know, what was it, 7-8, or was it 8 points or 3 points?
Eight points.
Yeah, once they're down by 8, then you got to put back on the gas pedal. Don't wait till they tie it. So anyway, all right, we got a lot more. Show we have a lot of tweets to do, but we
and I'm clear. I'm assuming the big play will be talked about in tweets.
Yes.
Well, the thing.
In detail is going to be brought up in tweets.
Right, but let me just say a couple more things about the game. Do you realize, not counting turnovers, because both teams, you know, our fumble and their interception was basically a one play drive. Okay, so but that's a turnover. But besides turnovers, the Saints never had a 3-play drive. Okay, never had 3 and out in any of our possessions. The Rams only had 2, and that was their last 2 possessions. We made them punt, and then they went for it on fourth and turned it over on down. So this defense, yeah, it gives up yards.
A lot of yards.
A lot of yards. But it's the Rams.
You're right. Look, yeah,
yeah. It's the Rams.
The Rams.
But, man,
second-best offense in the NFL.
Right. But when it was time and we needed a three and out, they got it. Needed a fourth and out, they got it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, all you need is little improvement and a little defense. You don't need the 85 Bears. Okay?
Right. Very quickly, because we really, there's not much more to say other than what the headline is, so we'll do a very quick fake news.
Am I making this presentation directly to the American people? With the media present, which is an honor to have you this morning, because many of our nation's reporters and folks will not tell you the truth. Russia is a ruse. It's all fake news. It's all a ruse. Not true. It's all fake news. Russia is a ruse. Fake. It's all fake news. The news is fake because so much of the news is fake. One of the reasons,
which is, and everybody give maybe a 15-second feed response to the news headline, which is the Saints brought in three wide receivers today, including Dez Bryant.
It's interesting. I mean, I think he could provide something. I mean, I don't think he's done. I think Brandon Marshall, that was one of the other guys they brought in. I think he's done. I wouldn't bring him in, but they have concerns about Cam Meredith, who continues to not do too much.
Is he on the field?
I feel like he was on. I remember seeing him on the field yesterday. I really did.
I don't
Drew Brees didn't.
In my little notes, I have a question here.
Where in the world is
Cam Meredith?
Right. I looked in the stat sheets after the game last night and thinking, well, did he catch a ball? And maybe he caught one ball or nothing?
Nothing.
I really expected a lot more out of him.
Cam Meredith and I have the same receiving yard yesterday. Zero.
So if they sign Dez Bryant.
He's a malcontent. You don't sign Dez Bryant.
Brandon Marshall, he's a malcontent too, or he has been in the past. Hasn't been lately, maybe.
You realize Brandon Marshall came out the same year as Marcus Colston?
Say what?
Wow.
Can we just bring Colston back then?
I would.
maybe Colston was the third receiver.
I mean, do you think they're actually going to sign him?
Dez Bryant?
Yeah.
I don't know, and I don't know if I would want to, but... If they did, is he a malcontent because of where he was?
I think that plays some into it.
No. He was a malcontent in college, and that's why when they drafted him, if y'all remember the stories when he was a rookie, the Cowboys hired someone to babysit him.
That's true.
We need another target.
So do you sell your soul? Sell your soul and you bring Dez Bryant in?
What are you really selling your soul?
Jason, locker room malcontents have been the bane of this team's existence.
Okay,
there's enough
strength in that locker room to be able to withstand him if they brought him.
In all fairness, that and defensive coordinators.
And look, I don't know how you speak to a player like this, but just like Chad Johnson, and I don't feel like he was a malcontent. I like Chad Johnson. He never did anything. You know, he was
he's just a fun showboat. That's what he was.
Right. But, Randy Moss, they went to New England and fit in great with that culture. And if you have a strong locker room,
mm-hmm.
which I believe we do, and then you're talking about eight games.
Well, right. That's the thing. It's a one-year deal.
You anything to bring in. It's not costing you anything to bring him in, and he doesn't sign right. He's on an eight game deal. It doesn't cost you a draft pick, dude. You have your chance. You can win a championship. Shut the fuck up.
Just come here and catch ball.
Night. Right. Go home at night and go to sleep.
And block.
Or even just the fact that hey, he'd have a job at this point. I mean, he doesn't even have a job right now.
Right. We'll give you a jobby job.
All right.
I would not. If he's the best, is he the best available?
Yeah, I gotta be.
Probably.
I mean,
granted, I don't know who all's out there right now.
But he's not a number one receiver anymore. This is
no.
Brian. No, but
right. he isn't, and also
be,
I mean, look,
he wouldn't be here to be
Michael
the number
Thomas
one.
Number one.
Yeah, Michael Thomas is number one. So imagine you've got Michael Thomas, Dez Bryant, Traquan Smith, Alvin Kamara. Yeah. Mark Ingram and Drew Brees throwing the ball with an offensive line that's lighting shit up. Taysom Hill, Josh Hill blocking like a motherfucker, And Ben Watson.
Oh, man, Ben Watson still getting it done.
Yep, yeah.
This offense would literally be unstoppable.
Well, yesterday it was.
Ready? I mean, that's the second game. Do you realize what was the other game we played? Was it Baltimore where we didn't punt? No, what was the game we never punted?
Washington, maybe?
I don't remember, but remember.
Yeah. Because that was the press.
Yeah, because look, Morstead before yesterday, Morstead hadn't punted in the dome since week two.
Yeah,
so he didn't punt.
And then yesterday he only punted twice, right? So right. Morstead's punted two times in what 8 weeks or in 4 weeks?
Right.
So this is pretty. Not, so you bring Dez Bryant in, and Morstead is out of it. He's just holding. We don't even need a punter. All right, let's move into looking at tweets. All right, plenty of tweets, so we don't have to go too deep into every one of them, because I do want to read them. They're all really fun and good. Davis Douglas commented on the offensive line, and so did DJZ. So Davis Douglas said, also, can we give the game ball to the offensive line? DJZ said, big shout out to the O-line and blocking by the running backs. Kept Drew clean all day.
Absolutely.
A great defensive
line. Yeah, that one block Ingram put on Fowler.
Right. Yeah, he upended him pretty well.
Oh, that was great.
So, yeah, you guys talked about the O-line earlier. You wanted to give him the game ball. It sounds like our Twitterverse agrees. All right, next tweet. Team Anderson. Did y'all ever think y'all would see Breeze with such a bell cow at wide receiver? And do you think Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara could be the most talented skill players we ever had on the team? Wasn't Colston that bell cow?
Colston was solid. Thomas is better than Colston. Not to disparage Marcus Colston at all, because Colston,
he's more dynamic than Colston. Yes.
Yeah.
You remember the Saints started playing before 2006, so you know we had good players before Eric Martin.
But his question was playing with Breeze, not just playmakers.
Okay. In the last 12 years, I mean,
Joe Horn was a fucking playmaker. You know, Joe Horn was probably the most talented, quote unquote, talented receiver we've had.
Well, again, it's not. Yeah, Wes Chandler back in the day.
It goes back to the stat, Damon. I think to me, when he's talking about a bell cow, too, it's a stat that the completion percentage between the quarterback and the receiver. You're talking about 80-90% that these two have
on targets.
Yeah.
On
Jimmy targets. Graham was a bell cow for a couple of years.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, he was.
But he wasn't a receiver. He was a tight end.
All right. That's what we said.
So the other part of the question was, do you think Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara could be the most talented skill players we've ever had on the team?
Right. That's the question I was answering. I mean, there are a lot of talented players that happened before 2006 that maybe didn't have the goat throwing to them, you know.
And the line blocking for them.
All right. So, I mean, but they're definitely
I don't have
going
any names
from 2006. But... Right. I mean, they're so dynamic. you can't stop them. I mean, you know, you just can't. You can't. But Alvin Kamara is such a nightmare for defenses. Mike, who are you going to put to cover him? A linebacker? Really? That's fair?
That's fun.
A linebacker to cover a fucking Alvin Kamara? And Alvin Kamara, look, he does Reggie Bush better than Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he don't run left right as much.
Right. He had the power to run up the middle. He had the vision to scoot through the lines.
He can tripod. He can hurdle.
Right. And then if you get him out in space, I mean, a lot of the plays yesterday, you know, were option routes where he could either go inside or out, depending on what the defender is doing to him, and he always makes the right decision. Third round. That's what we get him. Ha!
All right, next tweet. Aaron St. John, he says, Sue is great and would have loved him to be a Saint, but... did we luck out not having to pay him what he wanted when our D-line is playing so well?
100%. 100%. And yep. Sue is not great anymore. Sue, again, is another – he's a player that he's a mercenary. He's playing for Ndamukong Sue. He's not playing for the Los Angeles Rams. You know?
Yeah.
He wanted to get paid. People from Miami that are glad he's gone. So, yeah, I think it was definitely a good thing that the Rams outbid us.
Yeah. And mercenaries are okay every now and then, but, yeah, we're better off without him.
But that's not how we build
it. Well, that's the key, right? A mercenary. Well, you know what? Dez Bryant at this point is a mercenary hire for 8 games to finish this season because we need that mercenary. You don't need to be building a team around Dez Bryant. All right, Aaron King at KingNola1 says, well, we won and we're in control of our destiny, but this Jekyll and Hyde defense has got me worried. PJ is every sports movie from the 1980s. Getting beat, but then he does the one thing we needed to win.
Yep, what did we say that at the Minnesota game? Just when you thought you couldn't disappoint us anymore? You totally redeemed yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, and they're going to pick on him. I mean, they're going to pick on him going forward, but all it takes for him to make one play.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look, that is a problem going, like, our red zone defense sucks. We give up touchdowns like 74% of the time. Team gets in the red zone, and you can get away with it some in the regular season when you get to play shitty teams, but when the playoffs come around, it's not going to cover.
I'm sorry, Jason. We're not the fucking Rams or the Patriots who play shitty teams. We've had to play tough teams.
Good point.
Every fucking team we've played, the last four wins, okay, the last four teams we played have either been against teams that were either alone or tied for their division lead.
The time,
Los Angeles, Minnesota, Baltimore, and Washington.
Yep.
Okay? All right, so cut this shitty team. Yeah, if you want to talk about the fucking Patriots and their great dynasty, playing the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Buffalo Bills. So scary. How do they fucking do it?
I thought that's the model franchise.
You know?
Franchise involves having a division with nothing.
Right.
That's why they're so model.
Right.
Again, I mean, if you could construct it, you do it that way too.
We talked, and again, I'm kind of
the other point too, Damon, that's a good point you're making there about the whole either tied or leading their division. The other part of it is, and they still are. You know, like Washington was...
Well, the Ravens aren't.
Washington was 4 weeks ago.
Is.
They're still leading their division.
Washington is...
The Ravens are. The Ravens, right.
Minnesota is as well.
We gave the blueprint to the Ravens, and Atlanta was able to do the same, you know, even worse. But yeah, I mean, and we all sat there when we came out of the bye week saying, this is the gauntlet. We're about to go through... I mean, we're still in the middle of it, and we haven't lost one yet. We said if we could get through this thing, if we could get through it with 2 losses, we'd be happy.
Right.
So now I'm done with that shit. I don't want any. I don't expect any.
Well, I never wanted any, but I did not. If you'd asked me 4 weeks ago, I would not tell you. If you made me bet, you know, I'd have bet 3-1, and I'd have been, you know, generous. You know, I thought I would have been I wouldn't have thought 4-0.
So the defense, again, like we said, they do enough to win.
They do enough to win.
It could be better, but shit, like with the Rams, I mean, hell, 35 points, you held them to their average.
Right.
All right, Hotwing Man says, I almost tweeted that Anzalone doesn't do anything for me, and why the fuck is he out there?
Then he totally goes in redeemed.
Exactly. That's all he needed. What a pick. All right, this one, Paul Perrette, NOLA, says, Thomas, Breeze, and Kamara, of course, had yet another all-world game. But how about some love for Ben Watson? 3 catches, 62 yards, and a touchdown, including a ridiculous leaping grab that no 37-year-old has any business making.
Especially one who's about to have twins.
Yeah, I like his little dance. His touchdown dance, was it?
That was cool.
And then Stephen Clark added, isn't it crazy how good the Saints are when the tight end position is clicking? You remember remember that guy we had last year?
Remember how much money we paid that guy?
Yeah.
So we cut him to save some cash, and then we gave it to Kirk Coleman and Cam Meredith.
I think Mickey Loomis has a column on his spreadsheet dedicated to just charity money. Yeah. And you have to pay at least one, maybe two players money to not do anything. And that money's what it's for. Okay, Big Easy Guy John, weekly tweeter, says, I don't want to hear anyone criticize Michael Thomas for his Joe Horn tribute in the end zone. That was awesome. But Davis Douglas says, not to be a downer, and I love Thomas, but the sell gag was idiotic. You're giving 15 yards to an undefeated team with 3 minutes and 53 seconds left, and at the moment, you're only up by 9. Just glad the secondary and Kamara helped to seal it.
So, okay, hold on. At the moment, we're only up by 9, but we also have Will Lutz. He ain't missing that shit, so we're up by 10. So
well,
that's
okay, I mean, that's ticky-tacky, right. It's an extra point. So we're up by 10. I mean, Jason's correct.
Okay.
I'm going to actually use a Jason mentality, which is horrible. You know, we won the game.
So who cares?
So who cares? And after you know, in the game, at the moment, you know, yeah, I was like, you know, 15 yards. I mean, that is what we gave up. They started on like the 42, 43, after the kick out of the back of the end zone in the 25. But yeah, so we did lose 15 to 18 yards, you know, of field advantage. But after coming home and listening to Michael Thomas, and it was a tribute to Joe Horn, he said he even found a flip phone, you know. And, you know,
why did he need to tribute Joe Horn, though? Like, why did he need to do that?
I don't know.
He wanted to, and at the moment, you know, we kind of needed it because it was only a 3-point game. It was still a little nervous in there. We need, you know, the crowd could use that excitement. You know, the dude's having fun.
Could it be construed as a selfish moment, putting the team in, you know, a little bit of more danger than it needed to be in? It could be construed that way. But the way it turned out, and him wanting, like he said he wanted to bring the crowd into it, and yeah, that was for the crowd. I'm going to choose to look at it. That was for the crowd because we are the one who remembers. I don't even know how the fuck he knows about Joe Horn's cell phone camera. I mean, that happened in 2003. The man's 23 years old, right? I mean, so he was, what, 7, 8 when that happened?
I guess.
Yeah, you know? And it's not like there's a ton of – I mean, it's on YouTube, obviously, but it's not like
– Right,
but
something that's
in people's consciousness.
Right. I mean, so I'd love to know how, you know – how he even knew about it, you know,
and that Joe Horn meant that much. But you know, like again, like what's why? I mean, it is pretty cool though. Like you said, like Saints fans. That was for Saints fans because that's a moment for us that we always point back to.
We hadn't talked about that.
Yeah, and like before the show, I was asking like, did the crowd notice it in the dome to the point where he got a reaction, like an added noise level to the celebration from the crowd, or did anybody even fucking notice it? Because you all are like too busy celebrating and high-fiving each other that you weren't watching the touchdown celebration.
Right. I kind of missed it. Right. I mean, Jason, did you realize it?
Mike noticed it because I was too busy celebrating.
Right. But at the end of the day, at the end of the day, everything's over with. We won. I like it.
Okay? Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yep. And then
at the end of the day.
Yeah. Now, you know, so, you know, that's the kind of shit you don't do when your team is struggling or losing and you're trying to get focused. But at this point, you got the swagger. You're having fun. Yeah. You know what? You let loose a little bit. Have a little fun with it.
Right.
The NFL did say they wanted to see more touchdown celebrations. Well, he did one. I mean, technically, it's a prop. Okay.
I mean, he's got the ref threw the flag right away before he pulled it out,
he tossed the flag. I wonder if the ref know what he was doing.
He might have told him.
I'd have loved if he wouldn't have done anything. If he wouldn't have pulled it out at all. I mean, once he saw the flag.
If he would have just went to it and just did nothing.
Right.
And he got like, the flag anyway, like doing
nothing. Right, you know.
When I was a bomber.
Right, what the flag for? Oh, nothing. Never mind. Pick it up. But, I think, you know, and again, it would have been different because at that point, we, you know, that put us up 2 scores.
Right.
If it would have put it up, if it would have put us up by 4 points or 3 points, I don't think he would have done it.
Yeah, and that's why he didn't do it before.
Also, right.
Because
I don't
think
he hadn't scored
a touchdown before. So, wasn't that his first touchdown of the game? Or no, he had one in the
first.
No, this is one.
His first touchdown of the game, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Neil says, what's that horrible noise? It's the national NFL media crawling out from under their stories to get on board the Saints bandwagon.
Oh, bullshit.
Yeah, they're not even doing that.
Maybe. They're not fucking doing that.
They're too busy sucking off Rodgers and Brady.
Maybe the new European NFL media.
Maybe. Okay. I mean, you want to start, Jason, and I'll. You have a national media rant?
At this point, I'm not as mad as I used to be because I know that's what's going to happen anyway. All they did was suck off that matchup. It wasn't nearly the game that the Saints-Rams was. Everybody could keep blowing Aaron Rodgers and like, what the fuck has Aaron Rodgers done that Drew Brees hasn't? You know, Aaron Rodgers, last time I checked, only has one fucking Super Bowl, the same as Drew Brees.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers has had much better defenses than Brees has had, and he still has not won another Super Bowl or even come close to this.
They're trying to sell viewership to more than just Saints games.
Hey, whatever. I already understand that's the way it is. I'm not quite as mad as I used to be back in the day, but.
Well, look. All right, so I think I'm going to stop, but, you know, listen to the Colin Coward and the Skip and Shannon, and the narrative all day was they have guests on. Don't ask me who the fucking nobody they have on. And they were, oh well, you know what? This really, you know what? This showed the Rams. This is what they're talking about. Well, this really showed the Rams. You know, they really are a good team because they were down by 21 and were able to fight back in it, and that really shows some good character. Well, okay, they tied it back, but then they went down by 10 again, you know. I didn't expect them to quit playing football. I mean, I don't, you know, only Cleveland does that. they kept playing football, you know, and then, you know, and everything was about the fucking, you know, the Rams. Everything was about the fucking Rams. And it's not like, well, the Saints are the one, we put 45 up on them.
It would beat them.
But our defense, but our defense, you know, that Saints defense, that Saints defense, they still give up a lot of yards, a lot of points. Well, we put up 45 on your mighty Rams, who was the sixth-ranked fucking defense going in, you know?
Oh, well. All right.
So, I mean, it's just so much. But at least the NFL isn't like college, and that's why I was never a big college fan, because you know what these polls and these opinions all mean in the NFL?
Jack squat. Nothing.
You have to win the fucking game. If we win the right games, we will win the Super Bowl. It's just that simple. And then they'll have to talk about us. You know.
And then we'll bitch about the fact that they talk about us when they didn't know any business. They didn't know anything about us, and they got it all wrong.
You know.
So we want to talk about us, and then when they do talk about us, we tell them to shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about.
Right. I want to say this about, because all the. Two things about the media. I'm watching today, and they're talking about, Super Bowl teams. First of all, it's Week 8. There's a lot of football left to play. Okay? No one should be talking about Super Bowl teams. You know, Super Bowl. I mean, there's 8 games left to play, people. No one should be talking about Super Bowl. All we know is the Saints are a good damn team and have beat everybody put in front of them.
That's right.
Except the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but we'll get a chance to, rectify that. Yeah. And then with the whole Brady and Rodgers are the greatest, blah, 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 greatest. And Brees isn't even in the fucking conversation. But anytime you see a fucking stat that they put up there about, you know, why Brady or Rodgers are the greatest, Brees is always right there. You know, with most yardage, most completion, highest completion rate, touchdowns. But for some reason, they don't talk about him. He's not one of the greatest.
They don't.
Go fuck. Right. Right. He's not in the conversation.
It's because they don't know. They don't. They go with what they've only known to say. Brady and Rodgers. Brady, Rodgers. Brady, Rodgers. They've been trained to think Brady, Rodgers.
Yeah,
they don't know how to think outside of that.
It's a hive mindset. They don't think for themselves. How much they want you to believe
exactly.
They don't. It's the same fucking narrative.
Well, that's why you got to end every tweet, everybody. Hashtag Breeze for MVP. But speaking of that, it is time for the segment within a segment. Taste some of this. So let's take the city. Our souls are singing. Can you feel the fire in your bones? Now, this week, Greenbaum wanted to make sure.
He went nuts on the taste meal.
He got the taste some of this tweet of the week. And it's like, okay, he actually did give a good one, and we got to read it. It's topical. It's good. I mean, he swung for the fences. But we also don't want to discourage anybody else from trying to earn the Taysomatis tweet of the week. So this week we will do two Taysomatis tweets And that is the first one from Dalton Belgard that says, Ben Watson should name his twins Taysom and Hill. I hope Taysom gets to perform the delivery of the twins. Pretty sure he could do it.
Could do everything else.
Yeah, I'm liking this. I'm liking where he's going with that, right? Little Taysom of this could very well become like Taysom Hill can do literally anything. And then the other tweet from Greenbaum, it's topical. Since Election Day is tomorrow, couldn't you just see Taysom Hill running for office in the future? Of course, he couldn't just run for one position. He would run for senator, Congress, and president all at the same time. And he'd probably do it, win it, and do all of them. So that's your Taysom of this.
You got it?
Yep, Taysom of this tweet of the week. And now we're going to go into a very fast pick'ems.
It's all about the king, you fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control. Will you make it? I will deliver the pain, you can't take it. I'm in control.
Last week, Jeff goes 4-1, and Damon, you and I both went 3-2. So Jeff's at 30-14. Damon, you're at 23-21, and I am at 21-23.
All right. And in the larger league, read off the standings. Basically, I'm going to read everybody who hasn't missed any more than 3 weeks. All right, we got Ryan Angier. Leading the pack, has not missed a single week, and he's got a 33-11 record. Followed by Who Dat Fitz, Saints Fan UK, Me So Mad, Drew, Jeff, Life of Ty, Jake, Big Easy Guy John, Wheels, James, Preston Allen, Saints Europe, DJZ, Ash, Davis Douglas, Who Dat Chris McGuire, Emmanuel 80s, Tom Ensign, Giovanni Turner, Dr. Who Dat, Matthew Pryor, Gerald Booty, Ryan Cummings, Damon, Bullsmith, Christian Mino, Fuck the Falcons, Greenbaum, Mordecai, Jason, Doug, Neil, Sans Hops.
You need to start saying where it goes from 50-50 to
losers.
Yeah. So Mordecai has a 523 record. Jason has a 477%. So Jason, Doug, Neil, and Sans Hops are the only people playing with a losing record at this point.
All right, enough with the fucking Borophil. Let's move on to the game, which are kind of Borophil, but here we go. First game, AFC South matchup. Both teams, I believe, coming off bye. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars travel to Indianapolis to play a Colts team that's won a few games in a row. Jacksonville trending down. The Colts trending upwards. Leonard Fournette practiced today, so he may play. It's in Indy, and the Colts are favored by 3.
Man, I really wish I knew if Leonard Fournette was going to be playing.
I don't think it matters. Give me the Colts.
Really?
Yeah, the Jags suck. Blake Bortles, he sucks. The Jags had last year, they lost it.
All right, I'll take the Colts.
I'll take the Colts, too, at home.
The Seattle Seahawks coming off a loss to the Chargers, travel to the Rams coming off a loss to the Saints. Game is in L.A., and the Rams are favored by 10.
Wow. There's a part of me that wants to take the Rams in this one. I mean, Seattle's not good.
No, but it's a division game. They played them within 3 points. Oh, that was in Seattle and CenturyLink Field. But I will take the Sea Kickers.
I'm going to take them as well.
I'm going to take the Rams because I can afford to.
Yes, you can.
That is crazy. I'm fucking balling out on this one.
All right, our next game, NFC North, Detroit Lions at the Chicago Bears. Bears coming off an easy win last week. Detroit, I believe they lost to Minnesota this week. Game is in Chicago. Bears favored by 6.5.
I'll take the Bears. The Bears.
I will also take the Bears.
Make it a three-way in the midway.
Oh.
Our next game, the Washington Redskins coming off a loss against the Falcons. Hey, fucking Redskins, man.
Fucking Redskins.
Travel to Tampa, who come off a loss to Carolina. I mean, the Saints can never get any help from another team that they need help. This game's in Tampa. Looks like Fitzmagic's going to be starting. And somehow the Bucs are favored by 2.5.
Give me the Skins. Plus 2.5?
Yeah. Give me Tampa.
Yeah, I'm taking the Skins on that one.
And now for our shittiest game of the week.
Here we go.
So this is the shittiest of all the crap games this week. This is what New England gets to play every fucking year, which is just ridiculous. The Buffalo Bills coming off a loss. You know, the Bills have been so bad. It's still crazy to me. Like, how the fuck did the Bills go to Minnesota and crush the Vikings?
That was a one-off. It happened every year.
It was a one-off, but
it's called any given Sunday. You know, we know that saying for a reason.
But still, I feel like there's going to be a 30-for-30 about that game, just because it's just so unheard of. I mean, they got destroyed by the Bears 41-9. I think the Bills, other than that one game, are averaging like 6 points a game, excluding that one game. Like, think about that.
We averaged that on our first drive.
Right, I mean, right. So they travel to New York to play a 3-6 Jets team where Sam Darnold just keeps throwing picks. And they lost 13-6 to the Dolphins. Skim is in New York, and somehow the Jets are favored by 7.5.
Oh, I'm taking Buffalo on this one.
Buffalo, like, it's going to be Nathan Peterman again. Buffalo is that bad, man.
But so are the Jets.
I know. This is the shittiest game of the year, candidate. This is why I'm bad at pick-ems, Jets.
You're taking the Jets.
I can't pick. Buffalo sucks. They're the worst team in the league.
A 7.5 points for two bad teams. I got to take the Bills. I mean, they might not score fucking 7.5 points between the two of them. So
that will move us into Saints preview. All right, we got the Bengals. Is this a trap game?
This is the one you called.
As the makings of one, I mean, hopefully we're better than that. But man, how do you get up for this one?
Look, it's a tough game on the road. It gets a team with a winning record. That's how you get up for it.
Right.
They're going to be missing AJ Green. He's got some kind of foot issue. Apparently, he's going to miss at least the next two games.
Okay, good. That's confirmed.
So yeah, was confirmed.
But no,
so that's a good thing. They do have a good offense that can score points, but their defense is shit. Like a lot of other defenses this year, deep hit.
I mean, remember how they, you know, they beat the...
Yeah, at the very end.
They're a danger. They're not an outdoor stadium. We do play differently than when we're in the dome, and it's outdoors. We have a better coach than they do. We have a better quarterback than they do. We have a better everything than they do.
So to clarify,
really should win this game.
Now, and to clarify, the league rankings here, offense... They're ranked 24th in yards, total yards per game. In defense, they are ranked 32nd.
Okay, but it's not strictly about yards.
Where do they rank in points?
They're 30th in points allowed. 29.5 points a game they give up. So they're 10th in terms of points scored.
Okay, well, you're pretty high, and we have a shitty defense. So
where were the Rams in points scored?
Well, third, after second? This week, they were just above 33, and that's where they are right now, above 33.
All right, so, yeah, just check.
So they're gonna put up some points on us. We're gonna have to outscore them. I mean, their defense is worse than ours.
Their defense is worse than everyone's.
Not everyone.
Yes,
they're 32nd.
They're 30th in points allowed. They're Tampa and Oakland are worse in terms of points allowed. Well, we're only three spots ahead of them.
Yeah,
I mean that's it.
All right, so score predictions on this one.
34-27. I think that was the same thing I predicted last week.
All right, Damon.
Okay. See, I think, like I said, it's on the road. I think we will change our mentality. Isn't Buffon out for them, their linebacker?
I have no idea.
I think it's going to be more of a Baltimore-Minnesota game. I'm going to go... I'm going to say
30-19.
Ooh. 19's interesting.
I'm going to take one from each of you. 34-19.
I feel that it's going to be more than a 7-point victory.
I hope.
It's got to be.
I mean, I'm trying to think of who their receivers are because they lost Eifert for the year. John
Green
Ross. Green's out.
That's the other thing. You're talking about the points that they can score and the yards they can get. Green's out. So that's a big part of their offense.
It is.
It is.
Cut that out. I mean, that's
more than
20. Hold them under 20.
They run the ball well with Joe Mixon.
And who's the best run defense?
I have to look that up. Hold on.
We are, thank goodness.
You're right. Looking that up?
No, I know.
I mean, you talk about they run the ball well with Joe Mixon. You saw what we just did to Todd Gurley.
Right. Well, but you have to stay on it. Yeah.
How long are you going to believe that we can or can't do it? I mean, shit. They've proven this. Until
February 10th.
Right. I mean, I know nobody's perfect, and I know shit happens. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, I want to be confident. I don't want to be scared anymore.
Oh, you scared, Jeff? Oh, you scared?
Not
you little
anymore.
Boy. You little
scared.
Big boy.
You're
want your blankie?
No,
you want your blankie? You want your blankie? Huh? You have your blankie?
It's a blankie.
Your teddy bear? And your teddy bear?
It's a Saints teddy bear?
Oh, you scared?
I was, but now I'm not. I'm scared because I'm watching The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix, and holy fucking shit, that show is fucking awesome.
Oh, is it? Oh, good. Thank you.
Yes.
It's a series, right?
Yes, and it is fucking awesome. I highly recommend that you drop every... Jason, what are you stupidly going through right now? This long, like, Sopranos rewatch or something? What are you doing? You watching...
I'm watching The Wire.
Jacking it in San Diego? Yeah, that. Yeah, you're watching something from 1990.
That's so stupid.
Why don't you do yourself a favor and watch the 10 episodes of The Haunting of Hill House and catch up with the rest of today's modern world? Because that show will give you nightmares. I'm a 40-year-old man, and last night, every time I closed my eyes, I saw those fucking ghosts. I'm like, okay, I can't watch this show right before.
I don't want nightmares. I'm good.
Oh, it's awesome. It's fucking awesome.
Jason's nightmare is life, Jeff, okay? Leave him alone. Look at him.
Next week, the Bengals' nightmare will be the Saints. All right, y'all got anything left to say because we are running long?
Well, I do. I wanted to mention something, and I'm sorry I should have mentioned it before in the beginning. Obviously, we're all home. Well, Jeff was home the entire time, but we were able to watch TV early in the morning. And NFL Sunday Countdown was in New Orleans, and they were on Fulton Street in front of the Manning's restaurant.
Uh-huh. Instead of there, look at that, huh?
Yeah, it was only...
Damon had some new porn to watch.
What?
Manning. The Manning porn.
Yeah. ESPN and live from Manning's. Yeah, it was new porn for Damon.
It was only the third time in 33 years that Sunday Countdown has been, on the road. So that was cool.
Mm.
But it was very... It was nice. They had a nice big Saints crowd. It was very fun to watch. Obviously, if you haven't seen it, you missed it, but it was a good showing for the city. They previewed everything.
And Lee Corso, was that the first time Lee Corso picked an NFL game?
Yes, it was. It did his old
mascot
right thing, and he picked the Saints. And it was a lot of fun. They had Brittany Breeze and the two kids, the two Breeze boys. So yeah, it was just nice to see, again, positive for the city. And then the other thing, remember last week we had someone ask us for advice on Twitter about when he came to New Orleans?
Dr. Hudat. I was going to ask if he ever met up with anybody.
Well, no, he didn't. I mean, I'm not on Twitter, but that was last week's game, correct?
Yeah, last week he was coming, and he came in for the Rams game this week. It was yesterday.
Okay, so, but
we probably should have told him to go check out the ESPN game day.
Well, I didn't know about it until Sunday morning, and we did mention Manning's. But I'd like to. I'd like him to tweet us and let us know if he followed any of our suggestions or what he did.
Yeah. That was the thing. He had said something about. We tweeted a little bit back and forth earlier in the week too. I suggested he try to get in touch with Jason and hang out. But it sounds like Jason tried to avoid him. And then if y'all would have hung out, then we could have maybe had him on the show and he could have talked about his experience. So Dr. Hudat, if you're listening, which I know you are. Even though Jason Slim Shady'd you, maybe we would catch you on, maybe we'll do like a quick little 5 to 10 minute interview on how your experience was whenever you came to New Orleans. All right, so that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there is the old-fashioned way of listening to our show. DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, undefeated donkeys.
Good night, Hudat Nation.
I'm a Hudat. I'm a Hudat. Shout aloud and
screen, everyone in my home would sing.